Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome to Your Place. Tonight our show is entitled, You Can't Fake It, You Have to Faith It. Pretty catchy title. But we want to welcome you to another show. Tonight we don't have any startup music because we want to get you right into our show. As always, we open up the mics at the end of the show for those that may have any comments or questions. Wild Bill's been teaching on faith in his adult Sunday school class for several weeks now, and he's been troubled in his spirit by some of the changes he has noticed in the application of faith in this day and time that we live in. He'll tell you that trying to grasp faith for himself is harder than what he knows it should be. We use excuses of lack of faith many times by saying things like, if it's God's will, it must not be God's time, or the people involved must not have their house in order. But when you look at the Bible, it's clear that God has established things for us to have faith in. It is clear that there is supposed to be power to meet the needs if we have the faith to believe. We all talk of faith, and we all love to read and share from the Bible when it tells us of the power of God. We get excited to see God's power in application for people that believe for all needs. Look at your denomination church history and see just how hard preachers used to preach on having faith in God for healing. It's hard to believe that many years ago, many Christian denominations used to preach against having health insurance, and the reason that having insurance kept people from having faith to trust in God. Have we gotten soft in the head regarding faith in God? Are we looking for an excuse why God can't apply his power to our needs even as you pray for help with the same need? This message is a little long, but I know that you're going to enjoy it, and I pray that it helps you build your faith. Tonight's sermon is brought to you by Wayne Huntley, that he preached back in 2006. So now let's have a listen.
Matthew chapter 15 and verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed in the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. It is very significant to understand that when you get in the presence of the Lord, you cannot properly evaluate nor sum what God has really done in that moment of meeting with Him. There are some things that you won't know until you get home. It happened then, but she did not see it with her eyes until she got back home. God has so designed this meeting that more has happened here than has been contained in these walls. Some of you are going to get back home, and Sunday's not going to be the same. You're going to say, how did it happen? And when did it happen? It was in Mid-America Revival Conference that somebody touched him. So from the reading of these verses of Scripture tonight, I want to preach on the subject. You can't fake it. You must faith it. You can't fake it. You must faith it. And everybody shout hallelujah. You may be seated. My message tonight is one of faith. The Bible speaks of faith in a variety of dimensions. The Scripture talks about no faith. It speaks of small faith. It speaks of great faith. It even goes as far as to say that without faith, it, which is not defined, just it, is impossible. It doesn't matter what it is. It is impossible without faith. Everything you need comes by faith. Everything you want comes by faith. We're saved by faith. We're healed by faith. We're kept by faith. We're delivered by faith. We're blessed by faith. Faith is the key word for the Apostolic Pentecostal Church in this hour. The Scripture even says that when He comes, He asks the question, will He find faith? I want to say that I believe that's not only talking about His second return. I believe it's talking about every time He comes to church. Every Sunday morning He's looking for faith. Every Sunday night He's looking for faith. Every prayer meeting He's looking for faith. When God comes into our midst, He's looking for somebody that has faith in His presence, in His power, and in His potential. Nothing is more precious than our faith in God. I say that because, and I want to deviate just to make it applicable in a more clear way. I have stood on this platform and in this audience day after day and night after night, feeling in the Spirit, desirous to know what the Holy Ghost would say to the church. I want to tell you, and you probably already know, there is a strong demonic assault on the faith of this church, on the faith of the individual Christian. It's time for you to fight for your faith. Paul said to fight the good fight of faith. I'm not going to lay my hands down. I'm not going to silence my feet. I'm not going to lock my lips. I have believed, therefore have I spoken. I said it's time to start talking more. Your silence depicts your faith. I said it's time to start saying what you want. It's time to start talking about what you want. It's time to start speaking what you want. When Israel came to the banks of their promised land, they said, we cannot enter because, and they had a long list of viable, feasible, logical, well thought out reasons that they could not go in. They said there are strong people. They said there are walled cities. They said there are very great cities. They said the Anakims are there. And I really like this one. They said it is a land that eats up people. It's like Pac-Man. If you go in there, they just munch you up. Crunch and munch. They said it's a land that eats up the people. Not to mention the giants. Now anybody that would give you a long, feasible, reasonable, logical, making sense list like that certainly should be excused. Well, darling, I'm sorry that I ever thought you would do any better. Knowing where you are and what you're facing and your situation, I say it's time to quit justifying our failure. It's time that we quit making alibis for our lack of productivity. And say, you don't understand. It's my city. It's my church. It's my culture. It's everything. Forget all of that. I haven't come to massage you tonight in your mediocrity. I've come to tell you, let's take the land. We don't need to lay here. Let's take the land. Somebody said it years ago, and I say it tonight. Never argue with the man who says he can, nor the man who says he can't. Because normally, they're both right. 10 said we can't, they didn't. 2 said we can, they did. And if I were to ask you tonight, for one of the names of the two that said we can, you'd immediately tie them together. Joshua and Caleb are inseparable. But if I were to ask you here in a Bible college with theological brains galore, biblical nerds all around me, scholastic pointed heads, for one of the names of the 10 who said we can't, just one of the 10. I don't think there's anybody in this audience that would give me a name of one of the 10 who said we can't. You know why? Who cares? Nobody remembers folks who say we can't. You don't build monuments to folks who say we can't. You don't memorialize the names of folks who say we can't. So if you're a saint in somebody's church tonight, when the pastor says, we're going to build a new church, you say we can. When he says we're going to build property, you say we can. When he says we're going to have revival, you say we can. When the United Pentecostal Church says we're going to have a worldwide revival, you say we can. The worst thing that could happen to us tonight, Brother Young, at this critical moment of unprecedented potential, is for us to become negative, cynical, critical, doubtful. It's already been hammered, but let me tap it one more time. If you cannot believe the reports from overseas, you will not have anything to report from where you are. If you can't believe God's doing it over there, you can't believe God's doing it here. But I stand on this premise. As they prayed tonight, God bless America, the tears swelled in my eyes because a lot of folks are saying, it won't happen here. It can't happen here. My faith will not let me talk that way. My faith will not accept that. I believe God's going to send a revival to America. I refuse to negotiate my revival. Here a while back, in our Haitian, a guy came to a city where one of our nice churches is, where the pastor came in there and dug it out. Having a great revival, great church. And the guy was riding around with the pastor, considering maybe coming and starting a church in the area. So they spent all day riding around, looking at the different areas. Sun was setting now, end of day is coming, it came to the bottom line. The guy that was there touring, thinking about coming and starting a church, finally said to the pastor, he said, well, let's just get down to the bottom line. He said, if I come start this church near you, he said, how many people can I count on you giving me from your church? I love what my pastor friend said. He looked that guy in the face, Brother Baxter, and he said, how big of a zero can you draw? I come to ask the devil tonight, how big of a zero can you draw? Because I'm not giving you anything in my apostolic revival. I'm not negotiating anything. I'm not coming off of my dream. There are too many of us compromising our dream, settling for less than what we want. I've come to tell you, you don't have to do that. For years I had not seen it. I'd always heard it preached that when they came back, 10 had a negative report. But the Bible doesn't say they had a negative report. The Bible said they had an evil report. They had an evil report. This is a church that is renowned for hating unrighteousness. This is a church that is renowned for hating evil. There is no greater evil than a negative report. And I'm not Einstein, but I notice this. Evil is only one letter from devil. And when you get negative, you're getting close to the devil. For all the promises of God in Him are yea and amen. Sit down. I'm fixing to rebuke somebody. I rebuke that negative conversation. We can't afford it. That's too much. That's too big. We can't make it. Shut your mouth. Greater is He that is in us. If you have faith, you can do it. Woo! They said, there's walls, there's giants. Large cities, great people. People eats up people. The land eats up people. That's what they said. But Hebrews 3:19 is the same story from a different perspective. What I've already told you is what they said. Walls, giants. Land eats up people. Great cities. That's what man said. But let's see what God said about the very same situation. Read.
So we see that they could not enter in.
They could not enter in.
Because,
but the Bible in Hebrews does not mention walls. It doesn't mention people. It doesn't mention giants. It doesn't mention the land. It said
because of unbelief.
God said it wasn't walls. God said it wasn't the land. God said it wasn't the giants.
No.
It was your lack of faith. If you believe God, walls can't stop you. If you believe God, giants can't stop you. If you believe God, you don't have a people problem. You got a faith problem. You don't have a money problem. You got a faith problem. You don't have a cultural problem. You got a faith problem. You don't have a location problem. You got a faith problem. If you believe God, God will give you the land.
Unbelief.
There's something we got to get out of our assembly. I'm guilty as anybody. We got to get victory over this. Something wonderful happens. You know what we, the believers, say? Can you believe that? It's what?
Unbelievable.
We say, oh, they're having an unbelievable revival. They built an unbelievable church. They got some unbelievable property. Let me settle an issue. I don't care what you say or how far out it is. All you got to do is say, my God did it. And I'll say, yay, verily. One of our old preachers in North Carolina years ago was going to a meeting and he ran out of fuel in his automobile. Pulled off to the side of the road, no service stations around. Heard a brook babbling below. Got a container, went down there and filled it up with water. Came back up. Y'all still with me? I'm talking about your God. Pull the cap off of that gas tank. Said, Lord, if you can turn water to wine, you turn water to fuel. And he put it in there, fired it up, and went on to the revival. My God is a mighty God. My God is a supernatural God. Turn around to somebody and say, your God can do it. Your God can do it. But Paul went further. He said, my God shall supply all your needs. It's not just your God, it's my God. Jesus said, oh, woman, great is thy faith. He who is the author and the finisher of faith said, that's great faith. Great faith is more than proper phrases. It's more than catchy cliches. It's more than name it and claim it. It's more than blab it and grab it. It's more than magic formulas. Joshua was in the midst of a victory, but the sun started setting. And he said, I am not ready to let the darkness fall on this. I have not got what I want out of this day. He was having a short victory and long shadows. And he said, I have not done what I want to see done. I'm not ready for this to end yet. Has there anybody come to Mark saying, I see the sun going down, but I haven't got what I want yet? I see the sun about to set on my dispensation, but I haven't had the revival I want yet. I haven't had the revival I want yet. I haven't seen the miracles I want yet. I'm not ready for the sun to set. And in desperation, the Bible said, and I just noticed it afresh, in the sight of Israel, he said, sun, stand still. And all Israel heard him. It's time to quit whispering about what you want. Step to the pulpit and in the sight of Israel say, we will have revival. We will see our youth group double. We will have a move of God. in the sight of Israel. It's been a recurring theme in this meeting. A return to desperation. We need to get victory over that. Oh well. You understand? It's not what I wanted, but oh well. Oh yeah. Oh what? So what? Oh well. It's time for the ministry to come back to the pulpit. And with desperate boldness, say, beloved, this is how it's going to be. You hear me, devil? This is the way it's going to be. I don't care if you don't like it. I didn't ask for your opinion. This hadn't got anything to do with the devil. We're going to have revival till he comes. He said, son, stand still. And God put the brakes on the universe and stopped it all. Even though Joshua was unintelligent. Even though Joshua didn't know seventh grade science. Joshua had no clue about how the universe worked. He even said the wrong thing because the sun wasn't moving. The sun does not rotate around the earth. The earth rotates around the sun. Joshua didn't know that. He just knew, I can't let this victory get away from me. I can't let this moment slip through my fingers. I can't let this opportunity get by. Brother Chance, Joshua didn't say it right, but God said, I know what you mean. God said, I know what you mean. You don't have to be an English major, but you got to have a desperate heart. Revival's not about a college degree. Revival's not about human intelligence. Revival's not about IQ. Revival's about desperate faith. Jesus said this woman had great faith. The devil is trying to rob us of our faith by lying to you that you don't have it, so you won't use it. If there's anything the devil's scared of, it's faith in the church. For this is the victory. For this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Faith is the victory. When you have faith, you have the victory. For faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. When you've got faith, you've got it. It may not have arrived yet, but you've got it. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Because there are three ingredients in our text of faith that I learned from this woman. Jesus said she had great faith. Number one is persistence. Sometimes great faith is just keeping on, keeping on. Just staying there. Just staying with it. It takes great faith sometimes just to stay there. Just to stay there. Persistence, praise, and perception are the ingredients of great faith. Notice with me, and I share with you some definitions of faith in my opinion. Faith, out of this text, is a disregard for defiant disadvantages. Faith is a defiant disregard for disadvantages. I will probably preach more about that in just a minute. Everybody say disadvantages. Ability to overlook obstacles and stay focused on the objective. Faith. continuing under conflicting circumstances. Faith. Confession of human unworthiness and inability, and the acknowledgement of divine perfection and supreme power. The number one hindrance to apostolic Pentecostals getting what they want from God is the fact that we are ingrained with a feeling that we can only have what we deserve. I want to say that again. You disqualify yourself. You exempt yourself. You excuse yourself. And you dismiss yourself by saying, but I don't deserve this. And I ain't worthy of this. You're exactly right. What we get is not predicated on our worthiness. If we got what we deserve, we'd all be crispy critters right now. The first miracle in the book of Acts, Peter described it. He said, it's not by might, and it's not by merit, but it's by faith in the name. I don't deserve the revival I'm having, but Calvary paid for a bigger revival than you're having. Nail-pricked hands paid for a greater revival than you're having. You need to stand up and say, devil, I don't deserve it, but the blood bought it. The stripes paid for it. The resurrection promised it. I want to add this right, Pastor, I'll move on. You may be seated. There's only one time that I find in the Bible where Jesus shut down shouting. Only one time in the Bible where I read Jesus told him, stop it. They came back rejoicing that they had cast out devils in his name. That they had done many mighty works in his name. And the scripture said they were rejoicing. And Jesus said, rejoice not. You know what that means? Cut it off, boys. Shut it off. Settle down. Rejoice not, because the spirits are subject unto you. He said you're shouting over the wrong reasons. If you shout over what you do, you'll shout this Sunday and work for Roto-Rooter next Sunday. If you shout over what you do, you'll run the aisles this week and sit on the back row looking out the door next Sunday. Your walk with God will be up and down. Up and down. Pentecostals worship their worship, and they worship their works, and they worship their prayer, and they worship their fasting, and they worship their testimony. And all of that is subject to change. So Jesus said, cut it off. But rather rejoice, because your names are written. Don't shout over what you do. It's variable. Don't shout over what you do. It's flexible. It's transient. It vacillates. But shout over what I do. I put your name in that book, and nothing or nobody can take it out. Shout because he's worthy. Shout because he's worthy. When I don't feel good, he's worthy. When I feel bad, he's worthy. When I'm down in the dumps, he's worthy. When I fail the test, he's worthy. When I'm called, he's worthy. Woo! If you'll praise him for that, you'll have a perpetual praise. Praise him when the saints are coming in. Praise him when they're going out. Let me minister just a minute and then we'll go back to preaching. Somebody needs to shake the devil off of your back right now and blow his mind by jumping up and dancing out in that aisle, because the devil is thinking you ain't got nothing to shout about the mess you left at home, the troubles you've been going through, You just dive out there and start praising God, and the walls will start coming down. What have you got to shout about? What have you, if that man can run the aisles, somebody else ought to run these aisles. If that man can dance in the Spirit, somebody else ought to dance in the Spirit. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Let your faith go. Yes. Yes. It's time for miracles to hit the apostolic Pentecostal church in North America. You've got the faith. Release it. Remain standing just a minute. Goliath had defeated all kinds of adversaries because the Bible says he was the champion.
Right. You're right.
You're not crowned champion without some challenges. And he had fought all kinds, shapes, and variety. But when he stood out there and Saul said he's too big to hit, David said he's too big to miss. Goliath was ready for everything David could offer according to the history of warfare. But David did something Goliath had never seen. And here comes David. And out of all of that contortion, and out of all that twisting, a stone came out of there. And Paul said, that rock was Christ. And when we start praising and dancing, something comes out of there that brings our giants down. Jump up and down and say, I believe it. Get out of the aisle, shout, say, I believe it. Lift up your hands and say, I believe it. I believe it. Remain standing. The Bible said this woman came out of the coast. She was from Tyre and Sidon. The heart of the message is this. She was not a Jew. She had no right to desire. She had no right to deserve. She had no right to demand anything from Israel's Messiah. She was outside the pavilion of promise. She was not covered in the canopy of covenants. Romans 9, quickly, and verse 4. She was disadvantaged. I felt the Lord impress me to preach tonight to the feeling among us of the disadvantaged. My daddy's not the superintendent. My uncle's not the president. I have no heritage. Disadvantaged. But this woman, excuse the term, said, baloney. She just said, baloney. She had no right. She had no rhyme. She had no reason. She was interrupting. She was busting on his party. But she didn't care. I've got a need. Your need has got to get bigger than your handicap. Your desire has got to get greater than your pedigree. You've got to make up your mind. I may not belong there. I may not have no right there. I may be out of place there. But there ain't nobody there going to want it more than me.
And Jesus has come to the hour that pedigree doesn't count. Name doesn't count. Heritage doesn't count. The thing that counts now is who wants it. Who wants it? Who wants it? Who wants it?
Let me show you how disadvantaged he was. Read for me quickly, Brother Mooney.
Who are the Israelites?
Who are the Israelites?
To whom pertaineth the adoption?
The adoption
and the glory,
to glory
and the covenant,
covenants belong
and
to
the giving of the law,
giving of the law,
and the service of God,
service of God,
and the promises.
Promises belong to them.
Whose are the fathers?
And the fathers are theirs.
And of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came?
And Christ came to them.
Who is over all?
She knew she was out of place,
and so she tried to fake it. She tried to fake it. Because she said, Jesus, Lord, thou son of David. She was trying to use those high ecclesiastical, holy Jewish words to fake him out and make him think she deserved what she was asking for. Hello. I preach now to the young preachers. There's more to this than just getting the doc terminology down. There's more to this than getting, praise the Lord, brother. There's more to it than knowing exactly what to say, how to say it. We're having a move of God. God is pouring out His Holy Spirit, getting all the words just right, trying to fake it. And the Bible said He answered her not a word. Most human beings apply this principle. Kiss me, slap me, but don't ignore me. And Jesus ignored her. He answered her. He would not even waste a one syllable word. No! And that's where a lot of you are tonight. You're in the worst place you can be because He hasn't said no. But He hasn't said yes. So then, she turns to those who are next to kin, the holy disciples. Put a word in for me, boy. You're close to Him. Pull some strings for me. Write a letter for me. Tell Him I can preach. You know what they said? Lord, tell her to get out of here. She's bothering us. Send her away. And then Jesus finally says something to her. He says, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He ignored her, they insulted her, and now Jesus says, you're a goat. Because He said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep, and that's not you. You're not a sheep, you're a goat. I'm talking about faith. And then the Bible said, she worshipped Him for being ignored, for being insulted, for being asked to leave, for being called a goat. What was she worshiping Him for? Nothing that she had received. Nothing for what He had done. But just for who He is. You can ignore me. You can insult me. You can call me a goat. But you're still God.
you're still God. Come on, somebody. You're going to have to get past getting your feelings hurt. Your desire is going to have to be greater than your sensitive feelings. So what if somebody don't like me? I'm still going to have revival. So what if somebody don't want me here? God put me here. And then it got worse. He said, ignored, insulted, called a goat. And now he says, it is not meet to give the children's bread to the dogs. Now she's not just a goat, she's a dog. And I see him start to walk off thinking, the end. Nobody's stupid enough to stay after all that. Insult, neglect, goat, dog. See you later, lady. And Jesus hears somebody clearing their voice behind him. And he turns around. And she says, true, truth, Lord. I see it now. I didn't fool you. I see it now. I didn't fake you out. You knew all along who I was. And the only way you can get what you need from God is to be honest and just say, truth, Lord. It's time for us to be honest with God. I wish I could convince you. You don't have to be somebody else to have revival. Take your mask off and quit posing as some camp meeting preacher. Quit posing as some national leader. Quit posing as some conference speaker. Just rip the mask off and say, true, Lord, I don't deserve it. I'm not worthy. But she said, just a minute, Lord, before we finish this. Lord, you're right. I am a dog. But Lord, don't the dogs get the crumbs? Isn't there something for dogs? She said, don't the dogs get the crumbs? Here's what she was saying. Excuse me, sir. I'm not asking for the whole loaf. Excuse me, sir. I'm not asking for a chair at your table. I don't belong there. But I happen to know who you are. And I happen to know what you can do. And I happen to know that for you to cast a devil out of my daughter on the other side of town with just a word is a crumb of your power. In other words, what she said was, hey, hold it. I'm not asking for something big. I'm not asking for you to break a sweat. I'm not asking for you to bankrupt heaven. For you to do what I'm asking is just a little old bitty crumb. And Jesus said, I've never seen such faith. You know why? Because she had a true perspective of his power. We Pentecostals preface our prayer like this. Oh God, God, if you could, God, if you can. Oh God, I know this is a biggie. God, I know this is going to wear you out. God, this is a great need. God, this is so big. She said, I got a crummy request. Lord,
this is so little, I'm ashamed to even tell it to you. That's what we've got to do. God, for you to save my backslidden husband, it's a crumb. For you to turn my church upside down in revival, that's a crumb. For you to give us that new property, that's a crumb. For you to heal people in our church, that's a crumb. I'm not asking for something big. You're a great God. Remain standing. Ever since the Lord gave me this message, it changed my prayer. Now I just start saying, God, it's so easy for you to do this, just go ahead and do it. I'm almost ashamed to ask you. This is so small. This is so little. You're not going to have to be rubbed down by the angels after you do this. You're not going to have to go on vacation after you answer my prayer. God, this isn't tough. Oh, I pastor in the meanest town in the world. God, if you could move my city. God, this is a bunch of rebels I pastor. If you could send us a revival. God, I don't know. I know it's going to be tough. And just instead of saying, Lord, I'm sorry to bother you with this. This is so little. So just go ahead and do it. It's a crumb. He can straighten your building program out and not break a bead of sweat. Oh, missionary, he can give you a new building and not strain one muscle. What are you worried about? What are you sweating about? Why are you burning ulcers in your stomach? You just need to go. It's no big deal. You're pressing me. And all of a sudden, Jesus has gone back as far as he can go. And he says, oh, woman, great is thy faith. I said, woman, what you asking for? It's not time for it. It doesn't belong now. But your faith is so great, I'm going to reach around all of that and bring something out of your future into your today. I'm telling you, if you'll get faith in God, you don't have to wait. God can reach into your tomorrow and bring you something now. You can have what you really should have to wait on now. You can believe. You can even have what really ought to be given to somebody else if you can believe.
Well, hello everyone. This is your host, Wild Bill. I hope you enjoyed that segment as much as I did. You know, faith is one of those things that I'm finding in my own personal life that it's hard to flex those muscles. It's hard to stand on faith and grow in faith. It's easy to talk about faith, and it's easy to just, you know, one to say, oh, I believe, but it's another one to really believe. I love this message right here, and I just really pray that it speaks to you as it has to me. As we're coming to the end of this show, I was trying to think of something to say that might encourage someone as this message encouraged me, maybe to bring up something that maybe you didn't catch from this. And really, I think he covered all the bases in the way he presented this. But when it comes to faith, who is the one person in the Bible that just really stands out in your mind? I know for me, there's a story of David and Goliath, and it's mentioned so many times, and I've heard preachers preach it so many different ways. And, you know, we look how this small shepherd boy came and went ahead of the whole army of God and slew this giant. And we love to talk about that story when we talk about faith, and we talk about the power of God, because surely here was a young man who stepped into an area that he had never witnessed before. Yeah, he had an incident where he was guarding the sheep and a bear came, and he had an incident where he was guarding the sheep and a lion came, and God allowed him to defeat these animals and save the sheep. And in my mind, I've always thought of this as that David, when he was taught by his father, was that God watched over you as you watch over the sheep. And as you protect them, he's going to protect you. And I don't know why I've always had that picture in my mind of David, just something about that locked into his mind. He had faith to understand that God was there to take care of him when he called out to God, when he needed him. And it seems like that David never forgot that, even though David's life, we love talking about the high points of David's life, how he went from shepherd boy to king. But many times in that same, as looking even at David and Goliath, we don't want to look at the lows in his life, to where here he was guarding the sheep, and, we act like it's no big deal. Can you imagine? I mean, a lion doesn't come out and have a basket that it scoops up a sheep. It grabs it in its mouth. It's a massive, powerful animal. And David was able to react so fast in his stance with God and with his sling that he slew it. The bear didn't have his little buggy that he came up here from Kroger's to scoop up some lamb chops there. He had to grab it in his mouth. And yet before he could injure and damage that sheep, David was able to come to his rescue. That had to be a trial for him, not something that was victorious at the beginning. It's victorious at the end, just like it was with David and Goliath. But there we got David. God said he's a man after his own heart. And what he caused a man to be killed because he wanted his wife. David was chased by the king of Israel, and he tried to kill him. We saw how David's own son raised up an army against him and tried to kill his father. And yet, when his son was killed, how David's heart was broken. We know the story how the army was defeated, the Ark of the Covenant was taken away. And yet when it came back, how David was so happy that he praised God so hard that he disrobed himself before the ark as it came in, because he was dancing so hard and shouting so hard. David was a man who seemed to have a lot of things in the positive columns, and he had a lot of things in the negative columns. But somehow or another, he seemed to have always held on to that faith he had as a child, when things came his way that confronted him both good and bad. A man after God's own heart. And so as I'm sitting there and I'm thinking about my life and the things that, I know that I need to improve on and do better, I want to flex that faith muscle to just, some things just let go and believe in God. Because in your life right now, it doesn't matter if you've got things in your life that you've done is wrong, and you feel like you've maybe lost many of years, that you can't go back and undo things from your past, and you feel like things are hopeless and helpless. God is a redeemer, and he can redeem those things in your life and turn it to your good. He says no weapon formed against us will prosper. It doesn't matter if you got lost loved ones. It doesn't matter that it seems like you've lost your direction. It don't matter if you think that you're losing your mind. If we just stand on God's promises and ask him to come to your aid, he can be there. And the one scripture that really stands out in my mind when I'm really looking at things of faith, when I'm really discouraged, is the third chapter of Psalms. And I've read that on our shows before, but what I'm going to do is we're going to have a song that's going to play that's going to be singing the third chapter of Psalm. And I encourage you to go and read this. But what I really want to encourage you to do is take a moment and think about the things in your life that you need help with. And then while this song is being sung, I want you to just give those things to God. And just believe that he's a God of love. And that he wants to do the same things for you that he did for David. And he's done for people all throughout the Bible that you read about. He wants to do those things for you. He's no respecter of persons. So as this song is playing, I'm going to pray for you and ask that you pray for me, that God adds to our faith, because the Bible tells us that God will add to our faith. It doesn't matter if you got an illness that the doctors say there's no cure. God's not limited by what the doctors say. It doesn't matter if you got a task before you that seems like it's impossible for you to do and you feel like that's what you are supposed to do. God can supply whatever is needed, so that you can overcome whatever obstacles are in your way. Have you ever thought about why God said that if you have the faith as of a grain of mustard seed, that you can say unto a mountain, be moved? He didn't say you could speak to a bear, a lion, a dragon, or something like that. He said a mountain. You ever thought about that? You can't see over a mountain. You can't see around a mountain. When you're confronted with a mountain in front of you, we're not talking about a hill, we're talking about a mountain. When you look at it, it looks like it's something that is impossible to scale to get over to the other side. There may be mountains between you and your goal. There may be mountains between you and what God wants you to have in your life. And God wants you to know that you don't have to look for a path to get over that mountain. You don't have to look for a way to get around that mountain. You don't even have to look for a way to go through that mountain. God says faith as the size of a grain of a mustard seed, that you can speak to that mountain and it can be cast into the sea. It can be moved out of your path. So, Lord bless you as you listen to this song.
Lord, how are they increase that trouble me? Many there be that rise up against me, and many there be which say of my soul, they say there is no help for you in God. But Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. You're the glory and the lifter of my head. Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. You're the glory. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and He heard.
It does me. I definitely want to give anyone a chance that's got a comment or question. And as always, we have Blog Talk Mom with us tonight. So, Blog Talk Mom, do you have anything to add to the show?
Well, I enjoyed it very much. Wild Bill, I appreciate you, Sister Starla, and I agree with you 100% on using David as such a classic example. You know, the fruit of the Spirit is it names different things, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, but it talks about faith. And faith is something that grows forth from that, like that mustard seed. It just grows as we study the Word of God and we live for God and we apply the principles, and then it's greater than anything you are. I think Paul wrote in Ephesians 6 that it was the shield of faith. You know, just like David said, I think it was in Psalms 18:35, thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation. You know, he's a shield for us. In the Arctic, when Judge Kaiser and I went up there to minister, she had an illustration that was just awesome. She had one of the gentlemen was in the middle, and then they put different boards and things around him, and then everybody walked by and was throwing things and hurling all kinds of stuff, but nothing hit him. It could have, you know, really hurt him, but it didn't, because there was a shield there. And God wants us to know that he is that shield for us. He loves us, like you were saying. I love everything you said. I really appreciate your comments. And I appreciate the program, and I also appreciate my birthday present.
Nothing like a birthday present.
That's right. Bad, isn't it? But anyway, I do love y'all and appreciate you very much. And the Word of God is so, I mean, it's kept us through the years.
Yeah, the one thing that I realize in my life, and it's getting to this thing to where, and that's one of the things I loved about this message, is we try to disqualify ourselves from God's power being able to move to our situations. And when you look at this woman, she didn't meet any of the qualifications of the time. She just had faith. It's not about what we do. It's what God can do. It's not about how bad we're hurting. It's what God can do. Our situation can be serious, but if we can believe just as serious, and I love what he said, we get locked into certain things of just saying the right words, and we don't realize it, but I think sometimes we're faking it. You know, even as this woman, she was in trying to impersonate what she wasn't, if you follow the preacher's line of thought on this. But how many times do we do the same thing? You know, I mean, I've mentioned it before. We go up and get prayed for, and on the way back to our seat, we're asking someone if they got a Tylenol. You know, I mean, that doesn't really show our faith. Lord, you didn't heal me while I was getting prayed for, so I guess you can't heal a headache. You know, I guess I'm not worthy. It's nothing about our ever being worthy. It's not about what we say. It's where our heart and our mind is, and that's what David had down pat. He messed up, but he knew who God was. He knew the power that God had. He knew the protection he wanted to put in place for his people. Yeah, we got to stay within that protection like you were talking about, where you put the boards around those men or you don't get hit when people throw stuff at you, when things come your way. You know, there are some, you know, qualifications and things that we have to stand on the things that God gives us. And you can read all through the New Testament. Man, the New Testament saints, they went through terrible trials and tribulations for this gospel. But they understood something that I think is lacking in the church in this day and time. They understood that it was all for good if God allowed it to happen. They understood that. Yeah, it didn't change how they felt about seeing their children fed to lions or being burned at the stake or boiled in oil. Those are pretty serious issues to face. But I don't know. I just sometimes I can get a picture in my mind of these people worshiping God saying, Lord, I'm not worthy to suffer for your message. You know, Lord, it's not me, it's you. And you're thinking, well, that's not the Lord that was being stuck in oil. That's not the Lord that was being crucified upside down. That's not the Lord that was being fed to lions. But we get so thinking about ourselves and how it affects us and who we are and what we want that sometimes we take God completely out of the picture and we just say the right things. And, you know, it's all about what we can do, you know. And I don't know. I know it's a balance between these things. We talk about that a lot, that there's a balance. But I think it is, if we really want to see God be God, then let him be God and just trust him and just believe him. Give it to him. and give it to him. And, you know, this woman was persistent. I never realized the ridicule that she went through to go ahead and continue to seek after God's face. That blows me away. So, did you have anything else, Blog Talk Mom? I know this show is a little bit long, but I really felt like that song at the end was important, and I want you guys to all know that as that song was playing, I wasn't just praying for myself. I was praying for all of you that are listening live and those that listen to the archives, that God will add to your faith and God will show himself mighty in your situation. So did you have anything else, Blog Talk Mom, or is anybody else? You just got to push one on your phone and we'll put you on the air. Nobody else, Blog Talk Mom.
No, it was a wonderful program, and I want to grow in faith, because without faith it's impossible to please God. And faith is believing who he is and trusting in him and knowing that he loves us and he's going to bring us through. And like you were saying, it's in the hard times, the bad times, the losses, that he manifests himself in the greatest ways, if we'll let him, you know, if we'll really turn to him. And not listen to the wrong voice. I heard a sermon Sunday and again Monday night on not listening to the wrong voice. You had if we listen to the voice of the accuser, you know, God lets you down, like you said, or say, well, I don't deserve it or whatever. Don't listen to that voice. God said, whosoever comes, I'm not going to cast him out. And then he died before we were ever born. He knew who we were and made provision for whatever we need him for. So thank you very much, Wild Bill.
Well, thank all of you, and I pray that you all got a blessing out of this in some way. And we'll be back with you next week. So Lord bless each and every one of you. Y'all have a good night.